Enlisting, equipping, and encouraging nursery workers is the ministry session we're about to hear from Mrs. Julie Hanna. Mrs. Julie Hanna oversees the church nurseries at Lancaster Baptist Church. This session was part of the Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010, hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
I think we'll go ahead and get started. I'm going to say a word of prayer, and then we'll go ahead and get started. Thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord, and I thank you for each and every one of these ladies in here, Lord. I hope that I can give them some tools that they need, Lord, or would like to have, or answer some of their questions, Lord, to help them in their own ministries from all the places that they come from, Lord. Be with everybody while they're here at the conference. Keep everyone safe and everybody's family safe. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay. I'm Julie Hanna. I've been at Lancaster Baptist Church for 24 years. I have been doing the nursery for 22 years. I took over for Mrs. Chappell. Any of you who have been in my sessions before know that that's how I started doing this. I probably never would have come to church and said, oh, gee, where's the nursery? Where can I serve? When I got here, I didn't have babies. When we were in the building downtown, you didn't even know there was a nursery. Because when you came in, the building was so small. When you came in, the nurseries were in the basement. If there's such a thing in California as a basement. But the nurseries were underneath. And I would have never even known that they had nurseries. You know, where did all the kids go? It didn't dawn on me. Where do all the kids go? I never thought about it. They kept them very quiet, so you knew that you didn't think there were kids there. But I have enjoyed it, like you all, I'm sure. Any of you that have done it for any amount of time, or any of you that are even moms, it does get tiring sometimes, and it's kind of the same old things like teaching school. You know, oh, you know, it's just a new year of kindergartners, but the same stuff. You know, you have the one that behaves, the one that doesn't want to behave, the one that listens, the one that doesn't want to listen. You know, it's usually always the same thing, just different faces that go with it. But to me, that makes it more interesting. I love to see the kids grow up. When you've been doing it as long as I have, I've watched kids who now have kids. Her husband, they have a baby now. I watched him. He came here when he was 3. They came right, not a couple years, like after we came. And he's been, so that makes you feel really old also. So those are the bad things about it, that you get to see your age. Not just with your own children, with everyone else's children. So those are the exciting things. I know sometimes it does get hard. And what I wanted to speak to you today about is just trying to give you some tools maybe that help you, that have helped me over the years, and things I've learned from other people in other ministries. You may come here and think, oh, this church is huge, and look at all the things. First of all, we didn't start out this way at all. This didn't happen overnight. And I still don't have enough workers. I still don't, you know, you can, my opinion of having enough workers in the nursery is one for every child. Till you hit that, you can always take volunteers. Someone is always needed. And to my knowledge, that hasn't happened yet, unless you're the mom in the nursery with your own little ones, and still it's not one-to-one. So what I was going to talk about is just giving you some things that have helped. And we've been through lots of transitions over the years. You know, I'll have nurseries, and they'll need a room for something else, and I'll have to try to figure something else. Today, we had 25 babies in one room, babies, 0 to 6 months. Okay, that can't be. Then we got to figure out what we're going to do. Okay, we got to find a room somewhere. We got to figure out how to, you know, and disperse and get everything. And still keep, you know, they're babies. They're not chairs that you just move from one room to another room and, you know, they'll be fine. You try to, you know, you want to take care of them when you do that. And that's the most important thing that you always need to remember, is that what you're going to do, when it comes to several things in the church, as far as church services, nurseries, childcare, school, it's always in transition. It's always growing. And things will always change. Just because last week when you came, you had 4 babies, it doesn't mean that this Sunday you're not going to have 10. Or because you had 10 this week, you may have 2. You never know. That's the hardest part about what you do, is you never know how many kids you're going to have. When you start school, you're a school teacher, you have a roster, you know you're going to have 25 kids, and pretty much it's going to stay consistent from September to May. It's not like that in the nursery or childcare at all. You'll have 2, you'll have 10. You know, you have a mom today with so many multiple births. You know, all it takes one mom to walk in with triplets. And that just threw your ratio right out the door. So you just kind of always have to be prepared for that kind of stuff. And so number one is enlisting. I always laugh and go, how do you ever get to the point where you've made it? You know, it's like, I don't have to go looking for any more workers. I don't have to, you know, or somebody's going to walk up and go, oh, what must I do to serve in the nursery? Doesn't usually happen. Well, it does here. It happens. What must I do to serve in the baby nursery? Other than that, they run, you know. So they do ask the volunteer for that nursery, but that's the only one. So you'll always be searching, so you'll always be looking. And the more eyes that you get to help you look, the better off you'll be. You know, when I started, I took over from Mrs. Chapel, and then when you have transition, you know, you always have a little bump when there's transition, when one person was in charge and then someone else is now in charge, and, you know, people are people. Oh, well, maybe I don't have to do it anymore, you know, or I can find something else to do. Those things will constantly happen. And so you'll always have to be searching. Like I said, you never have enough unless you have one for every child, which you'll never have because you never know how many children you're going to have. Searching means your friends. When you get to be my age, my daughter has friends. we have a wonderful thing here called West Coast Baptist College, which is so awesome every single year. I mean, we get to meet girls. There are several girls in here that went to our college. You know, that we get to meet girls. We get to serve with them. And we actually get to have a good time working with the college students and getting to know them. I would hate to see what would happen if we had West Coast Baptist College and they didn't serve with us or we didn't serve with them. We wouldn't know half of them. We'd all go to church and we wouldn't know most of the kids. So we're more fortunate in that aspect than most of you are going to be. But you have moms who you can ask, grandmas, aunts. You know, one of my favorite things is there an Elliot in here? Melanie came up to me on Monday and said she has a younger sister, and she said, I'm not working on Monday and I want to work. And I said, okay, great. And then she said, can I work with the 10-month-old? Which she must have a niece or a nephew in there that she normally doesn't get to see because they don't live here. And those are the things, right? You can find lots like that if you just keep looking. You have to make your own rules about teenagers. We have very strict rules when it comes to teenagers. Teenagers would never be alone. They'd always have an adult with them. And then also, a lot of times what we'll do is the teenager has to work with their mom, because their mom can handle them a little bit better. You know, I speak to the mom and let the mom know what they can and cannot do. You know, some moms are fine with it. Other moms aren't. You know, we still have transitions sometimes where they'll come back and I'll have four college girls in there that are 22, 21, and 20. And they'll think, though, that they're, you know, those aren't really teenagers. But to a mom, that's not a mom. And so you have to, you know, you can't have a mom go to a nursery and see everyone that looks like they're 12. They're not going to feel real comfortable dropping their baby off. So remember those things when you are searching. Have your criteria down as to what you want to be able to do and what you don't want to be able to do. Because with teenagers, you have to be careful because they want to group together. And so all of a sudden, you'll look in the nursery and there's four teenagers over here and all the kids are over there. And they're not interacting. But then you have some teens that are wonderful. They're right in the middle. We had a college girl, and then she became a staff member. Her name was Liz Graham. And she had hair like down to here. And she would sit in the middle of the floor. And they would all play with her hair. And I'm like, I'm a mom. And I'm going, that would drive me nuts. And, you know, they would have, like, a maypole. Her hair would be in there. Each child would have hair. And they would just, hours she could keep them busy. I would have been going, okay, please don't touch me anymore. She didn't care. It didn't bother her a bit. You know, so those are all the things. Just keep looking. And it doesn't hurt to ask, what is the worst that could happen? They could say no. Then you just go on to the next one. You know, and they will. And then when they see, I try to make it fun. If I have a couple, like if Sarah and Cheryl, you know, I knew that they were friends, so I would say, you know, would you like to work with Sarah? You know, nobody really wants to work with Sarah, but they say Sarah was allergic to children. but, you know, so I try to make it, you know, as long as it doesn't become a gossip session. So they're sitting there in their chair and they're talking back and forth, and the kid, adults can do the same thing as teenagers. We're not any different. We can have, I mean, we were them at one time. So that's the only thing that you have to remember, that you have to kind of guard that in that aspect. So A is search everywhere. B is ask. Ask, I wouldn't say ask anyone, you know, have your, just because they're a mom doesn't mean they should be a nursery worker. You know, they can raise their kids, but they may not should raise someone or, you know, have something to do with someone else's children. And then C is getting them started. When you ask someone to work the nursery, you have to be kind of careful. You can't just say, "Oh, would you like to work nursery?" and then go, "There you go." You know, put them in a room and walk away. They do need tools. They may be moms, but they do need tools. They have to have something, you know, to help them. Because it's nursery, it's not taking care of your child at home. You have certain things that you have to do because you're watching people that don't belong to you. And I always say in the state of California, I don't know how many different states do we have. Are most of you from California or are you guys from all over? California is the anti-germ, you know what I mean, whatever is, you know, I had one mom tell me, you know, that she wasn't going to put her child in the nursery because we had a microwave. And I'm sure somewhere was written that microwaves can cause cancer. And she's looking at me like it's, and I said, "Oh, okay, well, I'm really sorry." And she goes, "Well, isn't there other ways to heat the bottles?" And I'm like, "Not safe ways. I mean, you can, what are those little bubbly things that warm 4 bottles and then don't work anymore, or spit water, hot water all over the place. That's just not safe. It's not safe." And so she was kind of, you know, but the thing that bothered me more than anything, the fact that she was so worried about the one microwave in the nursery, you can't honestly almost go anywhere on this property where there's not a microwave. We have them in the nursery, but if you go in the Revels building, they have one in the coffee thing, the Great Awakening. They have, I have 2 or 3 upstairs in 303, I think it is, in the lab, in the cooking lab. That building has it because we have one in the nursery. I mean, you can't go anywhere without, but she, you know what I mean. I talked to her and I explained to her that there's only so much that you can do. I don't have just one child. I have 300. So there's only so much that you can do. So you try to be polite and you try to accommodate, but I have to warm bottles for babies. And, you know, we know not to, you know, warm mother's milk and stuff like that, but we have to do those type of things. And so make sure that they understand when they start to work that there is more to it than just taking a baby. It's important. I don't know how all of you all are, but our pastor could not get a service done if there were 300 children under the age of 4 sitting in the service. First of all, where would we put them? And second of all, people don't watch their children the way other people watch their children. You know, it doesn't bother them that their child keeps running up and down. You know, she thinks it's okay because it's in between right there. It's not the middle aisles. It's bothering those 7 people right there, or the little brand new baby who, you know, all of a sudden goes, ooh, and, you know, the whole row goes, oh, you know. And then, when we bought a beeper system several years ago, and when the guy was trying to sell it to me, he said, well, we have this thing, it's like what you see in a restaurant, where the numbers flash up. So if I was to hit it, number 11 would flash up. Well, that bar would go behind Pastor. And I said, oh, right, that would work. When Pastor's preaching, because Pastor sees everything. When Pastor's preaching, the 11 goes up, and then you see 15 ladies go, was that your number? Was that my number? And they're looking at they're trying to find it. No, we need the beepers that don't make any noise, please, you know, and that's just... It was way cheaper to go with the bar than it wouldn't have worked. You know, so those are the things that you have to. So just make sure that they know what they're supposed to do. Give them what they need. So then that is number 2, equipping. Has anybody in here ever, I'm at the stage now where I don't have little children, so I've been watching little Camden Mord, and he comes to the house, and I'm like, oh, wow, what do I do? I don't have a playpen, I don't have a high chair, I don't have all this stuff, you know, all this stuff I always had for years. I don't have it. And then you're like, you feel inadequate. I'm a mother of three children, and I can't take care of this little baby because, well, how do I feed him? Thank goodness for those car seats, you know, because those go everywhere, and those are wonderful because they can sit in them, you can feed them in them. But that's how it feels when you go in a nursery. You stick someone in a room with four walls. They're not equipped to do nursery for children. You want to try to make it the best experience that you can for the kids. Now, you're not going to make them all happy. You're not going to make everyone happy. That's just the way it is. But you want to try to make it as fun as you can. So having the actual equipment needed. So it's trying to determine what you need to run a really good nursery. And that, unfortunately, is determined by how old they are and how you actually do your nursery. When I teach in the college, I teach them how to start a program in the church that they're going to go to. And I'm fortunate. I have nine rooms for a nursery for just two-year-olds and under. Mrs. Chappell didn't have that when she started. Mrs. Chappell had one, and she had zero through sixth grade. So it makes a big difference as to how you're going to equip the nursery. Then as years gone on, we've got more rooms, but then you look at the size of the room and you think, okay, this room won't work for this age because there's too much equipment goes with these children. Swings and changing tables and all that. So the room's going to be totally engulfed by the equipment that they need, and the kids aren't going to have any room to play. So those are all the things that you have to look at. So that's part of keeping them equipped. If they need something, you know, you say, what do you need? Because I'm only a mom of three. I'm not a mom of 25. So someone else may have a better idea. Oh, this works. One of my ladies that has helped me for 16 years now, she used to work in a preschool. So she had really neat things, you know, like setting out little circles on the floor so the kids could sit on those during story time, things like that, things that you can do to make it more fun for the kids and want them, and they'll want to come in. I don't know. Some of you know the Feases. They came up. They have four or five. And they came to college here, and now they have a church not far from here. And she was registering the other day, and I was registering them, and they didn't bring their children. And their grandparents came. And she literally said that the kids were like, Grandma and Grandpa go to the nursery at Lancaster Baptist Church. And they actually had to think about it. And I thought that was really wonderful. Not for me. It means my workers are doing a really, really good job. They're making it fun. They're wanting to come back. And that's the only thing a parent wants. A parent doesn't need any excuses not to come to church. None. We have lots that we can make up on our own. And then for your four-year-old to go, no, I don't want to go there. I hate that place. I hate that place. I don't want to go. But as a nursery worker, and especially if you're the nursery leader, you have to be careful not to do that to your own children, to where your children are going. Do we have to go there again? We're always there. So don't try to make it fun for your kids, too, because your kids are going to go where you go. That's why I started doing this. I didn't have to worry about mine. Mine could go where I went because I was the one doing it. I didn't have to say, oh, I could help you, but I need to have a nursery. I was the nursery. So it wasn't a problem for me. And I got to spend time with my kids at the same time. So make it fun for your kids, too. That's a thing that you really need to remember. So making sure they actually have the equipment. And you have to determine yourself for your own nurseries what that equipment would be. Swings, changing tables, age-appropriate toys, things like that. Letter B is organization. That is always hard. Do any of you have nurseries that are just a nursery, like nobody else touches them? You know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We don't. Our rooms are used Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And not just nursery. You'll come in and they're painting signs for the basketball game. You'll come in and they've got four pianos in there for some reason all of a sudden because they're practicing for fine arts or something. So you have to be, so then I have to be extremely organized because then I have people doing things in a nursery that does not pertain to small children. So they're throwing tacks or, you know, push pins or leaving ink pins or, you know, things that little children can't have. So I have to be extremely organized and I have to know what's going on here so I can keep up with it so that I don't walk in on Sunday morning at 7 o'clock and go, wow, they had an activity last night. Nobody bothered to clean the nursery. Because it happens. It happens. People forget. People get busy. Things just happen. So I have to know, okay, I need to make sure that I am in contact with whoever is having that activity so that I know for a fact that they cleaned up that nursery and took care of it the way it's supposed to be done. Another problem that we've had is we have nurseries for smaller children, but we're putting bigger children in them. And you know what happens when you put bigger children with smaller children's nursery toys? They break them. All of them. They don't play with toys. They stand on toys. They throw toys. You know, they take the toys apart. And so then you have, so I'm constantly going through the toys to check what doesn't have a wheel anymore, what's not safe. So you have to be really, really organized. And that's the most important thing. You have to be organized. I have to be organized when I buy the snacks. I have to make sure. I don't want a worker to come out and go, oh, I'm out of wipes. I need more wipes. And I'm like, whoops, we don't have any. We went in total panic mode on Sunday night. We have a new system, security system. Some of you may have seen it, some haven't, where we have pictures and finger registrations and pagers that go through the system. And they've been doing so much with live streaming and changing all these things that all of a sudden the pagers weren't working. Well, we didn't know till Sunday night. I'm paging people and paging people. No one's coming. And I'm like, I can understand if I page one person and maybe that person by accident stuck the pager in her purse and forgot, oh, I had that pager. You know, because at some point as a mom, you remember, oh, it's 8:30 and they haven't called me and he was supposed to eat at 7. You know, it'll click a little bit, but I'm like, but when I've paged 6 different pagers and no one's coming, something's wrong. Not everybody's ignoring me. And so we had to figure out what the problem was with that. So we were relying on technology that wasn't working. So then, but, you know, my workers had to try to keep those kids as occupied as they can because you cannot find anyone, even with the assigned seating. It doesn't matter. You can't find anyone. Oh, yeah, I know this is where they're sitting. You can't find them. Nobody sits where they're supposed to sit. So just be organized. So then, you know, what we should have done was taken cell phone numbers because everybody pretty much has a cell phone. We shouldn't have just relied on one thing on such a busy night. We should have had two things because nothing's ever guaranteed, especially if it's electronic, to work the way it's supposed to. So just be as organized as you can be. C is training. The training is the most important thing when it comes to nursery work because no matter what happens, you're the one that, if you're in charge, you're the one that's always going to have to answer for what's going on. It may, you know, I have 9 nurseries. It could have happened in one of those 9 nurseries, but they're coming to me. My baby didn't get changed today. I'm the one that has to answer it. I cannot say, oh, well, go ask them. I wasn't in there. That's not my job. My job is to apologize, to try to take care of it as best as I can to make sure it doesn't happen again. Which may until last night we went around because there were lots of babies, lots of workers that don't normally work in the nursery. You know, we went and remind, don't forget to change the babies. Don't forget to change the babies. You know, because that can be one of the problems. He's crying. Well, have you changed him? Oh, didn't think about that. And then when you're dealing with moms that haven't been moms in a long time, they don't think, you know, to change a baby more often. Then you have some moms that are moms, you know, that a pamper can hold a lot. I am utterly amazed in the nursery sometimes. I'm like, wow. Either you drink bucket loads of water or whatever, or you haven't been changed. I mean, the diaper weighs more than the baby. And it hasn't leaked. I'm trying to find out what brand is that, because that's like fantastic. You know, or that it starts bulging, you know, and it's like, wow. You know, sometimes that's what happens. I mean, I learn in the nursery I work in, there are some moms that get here for choir. They're picking their baby literally up out of the bed as they're walking out the door for choir practice. He's in the nursery for an hour, and all of a sudden his clothes are wet because... So I've learned with that one or with those particular ones, when they come in, I check their diaper. After we get everything organized, I check their diaper and change it. You know, I'm trying to help mom, too. It's not like, well, she should learn to turn her baby. Well, in a real world, no. It's not. She's got things on her mind. She's trying to get here. She's trying to get to choir practice. And I'm here to be a blessing. So I just, you know, you just learn little things. And that's what's great about having the same people working with the same kids. It doesn't even have to be every week, but once a month, they know, oh, you start to know their personalities. like you can tell, oh, he's crying. Like Maggie's children don't really cry much. And if I normally have her and she doesn't normally, and tonight she's really, really fussy, to me there must be something wrong because she doesn't normally act like that. So then I can get mom and say, it's up to you if you want to take her, but she's just not acting the way she normally acts. Now, you may have one that cries all the time, and you kind of know, oh, okay, well, he just, you know, and you try to figure out a way. Have any of you ever worked in the nursery and you just sweated it out with this one child trying to figure out whatever, you know, doing whatever you can, and then when mom picks him up, she goes, oh, his favorite blanket was inside the diaper bag. And you're like, thank you. That helps not now. But you'll know that for the next time. Where's his blanket? You know, where's his blanket? So stuff like that. So training them to look for things like that is nice. It's not just glorified babysitting. It's not show up and put your 2 hours in on Sunday night once a month. God doesn't want it that way. God wants us to love every child. And in a lot of cases, that might be the only love that baby gets. From Sunday to Sunday. The only time that someone took 5 minutes to pay attention to him or to hold him. It's sad, but it's true. And don't you want to be that one that when he, you know, it's my favorite thing. When they like me, when they come, you know what I mean? When they can run around the counter and they come to find me. That's my most favorite thing. They're not even mine. Mine don't even pay attention to me. Other people's children pay attention to me now. And that's okay. I like that. So make sure you train them the way you want to train them. If you want to use gloves for changing, you need to use gloves. You need to make them understand it's not their decision to make. You know, you always have that mom who works in the nursery. Oh, I don't need them. I understand you don't need them, but we want you to wear them. It's for everybody's safety. Hand sanitizer. Sometimes you have to remind people to wash their hands. Hand sanitizer was probably one of the best inventions for nurseries because you can just constantly keep doing it. You don't have to have water right in the nursery anymore, and you don't have to go leave the nursery to go to the bathroom to wash. Sometimes you do. Sometimes it's necessary. But the hand sanitizer is a wonderful thing. I mean, there's so many things that have come out in the past 10 years that make life in those aspects so much easier. Always have that kind of stuff. Train them to do those things. You have to train a mom to do the things that you think a mom already knows. Sometimes you have to train a mom how to change a diaper. You just do. It's just, don't assume. Never assume that they know what they're doing. Just because, oh, she's had 10 kids. Well, you don't even know how much hands-on with 10 kids she actually had with those children. Maybe she had a maid that would change the babies and she never ever had to deal with it. So those are the things. Make sure you train them and tell them what you want them to do. You know, and if they can't do it, then sometimes, you know, maybe you need to find somewhere else that they can serve. Maybe not with little ones, maybe with a little bit older ones, maybe that, you know, where the shoe fits a little bit better. So, and then number three is encouraging. I always ask myself, and I always tell my class when I teach my class in the spring, I always go, I don't know why they come back. Well, not the kids, the workers. You sit, like today when I went in that nursery, and by the time I got over here, there was 19 babies, 0 to 6 months, in one room. Why would that lady come back tomorrow? Not the mom. Why would the lady working in there come back tomorrow? She's been screamed at, thrown up on. There's nothing that she could do that was right, yet she comes back tomorrow. And they only come back for one reason. They love the Lord. You have to do this for the Lord. You can't do it for your pastor, even if it's your husband. You can't do it for him. You can't do it for your best friend. You can't do it. You can't even do it with the attitude of, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. You can't. You have to do it for the Lord and only the Lord. Because it's the only reason why you come back. We'll quit on everything else. But most of us won't quit on the Lord. And if you remember that's what it's for, that's what it's for. I love it when I get to do, I've been doing this for a long time. We've had the conferences now for many years. And I love it when I get to see the same people come back every year and see their kids growing and things like that. I love to be in my place. That's my favorite thing. I love to be in my place. I love for them to come over to the counter and go, oh, she's still here. To me, that's an encouragement if I go somewhere else and I see that someone's still there. And I think for anyone, it's an encouragement. Well, if she can do it or if he can do it, I mean, a pastor that stays, you know, like our pastor, almost 25 years. That's a long time in this day and age. And that is completely wonderful. And to see the same, you know, a lot of the same staff members, a lot of the same deacons. And it's encouraging to think, oh, we can do this. Instead of that quickly, what we all want to do is go, I'm just going to quit. You know, I don't need to put up with this. I mean, I have grown children. My youngest is 12. I really don't need to do this anymore. I'm taken care of. But the way I think of it is that when my children were small, somebody was watching them. So now my children aren't small, so I don't have to do it anymore? No. Somebody was watching my child. I have children. I have a 21-year-old and almost 17-year-old and a 12-year-old. Someone has taught them in 6th grade. Someone taught them in 4th grade. Someone has taught them in 10th grade. So I need to keep in my spot so that that can keep happening. We can't quit just because, oh, I don't have kids in the nursery anymore. I shouldn't have to do it anymore. And those are things that you have to try to overcome with your workers because that's what's going to happen. They get burned out. You have, you know, in this day and age, you have moms that work Monday through Friday at a regular job, come home, have to take care of their own family, and then to show up on Sunday, they would probably really just like to sit in the pew and relax. But you're asking them to serve in the nursery, and you need them to serve. So you have to keep those things in mind. You kind of have to have, it's like I think two ways. I think as a mom and a church member, and I think of it as the nursery leader. Okay, well, I understand, but you need to be in your place. But I also have to think of, she just came home from work. She's going to be 15 minutes late. She runs in the door, tries to feed her family, and tries to get back for church at 7 o'clock. Maybe she can't be in the nursery at 7:05. You know, not everybody's like that. Some people are just perpetually late. But those are the things that you have to wear two hats. You have to be compassionate. You have to remember those things. You can't just say, it's not a job. When I started doing this, when Mrs. Chappell asked me, you all have probably done it at some point, where you hoodwink someone. We're on it. She asked me to go with her to a mother-daughter tea up in Modesto at her sister-in-law's church. And so I said, oh, sure, and Danielle went with us. Danielle was little. And so we're in the car on the way back, and back then we had to stand up in front of church. Whoever was in charge had to stand up in front of church and tell how many they had that Sunday. This is not me. This is the Lord. This is Pastor telling me he thinks I can do this. This is in no way, shape, or form me. So she's in the car and she said, well, I was wondering if you would like to, because I'd been working in the nursery, so she wanted me to take over all the nurseries and do the schedules. And I was like, well, you know, I wouldn't mind, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to get up there on Sunday nights and read the thing. And she goes, oh, okay, well, I'll take care of that. She lied. My pastor's wife lied. They got me all, you know, doing it. And then all of a sudden it was, and it wasn't even pastor. Pastor's not even the one that made me do it. It was Brother Hauk. He said, no, this is where you're supposed to be. And I'm like, no, Mrs. Chappell said. He said, no, she didn't. And if she did, it was a mistake. She must have misunderstood. And I'm like, oh, okay, so it wasn't a lie. She misunderstood. Okay. So those are the things, you know, that you just have to remember that it's hard. And I know it's hard. I've been doing it a long time. You go to little small churches. I have the same problems that you have. Don't think that because the church is as big as it is, she must not ever worry about whether a nursery worker shows up or not. She has all these people to pick from. I hear the same things. Oh, I need to be in church today. Well, so do I. But these babies can't be in church, so somebody's got to stay here. So when encouraging, pray for them. I always pray for my workers and their families to make sure. I pray on Saturday night, please let everybody be healthy at home so that they can get here. I mean, they feel bad when they can't make it. They know what it's like when they're not here. They know what it's like when they're here, so they really know what it's like when they're not here. B is get to know them. should be get, not let. Get to know them. Some of my best friends are nursery workers, and I didn't start out that way. I really do feel sorry for anyone that attends church and shows up at 11 o'clock and walks out the door after invitation and goes home. I really do, because you are missing so much out of life. It's I don't know what I do. When I went to when my son had, he was just about getting ready to turn one, and I decided I would quit work and be a stay-at-home mom. And my parents live in Florida, and my mom's like, "Oh my goodness, what are you gonna do?" Like, I think she thought I was gonna like go crazy. You'll have nothing to do. And of course, my mom's not saved, so my mom does not understand any of this. And then of course, when Chase got a little bit older, because my kids are far apart in age, she was like, "He needs socialization. You need to take him to a daycare." I said, "Mom, he gets socialized 5 times a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Saturday. He's with kids all the time, Mom. He's fine." You know, and those are the type of things that I got to know some of my best friends are right here because I worked with them. That's how you get to know people. You get to know people by, you don't get to know people by saying hi as you walk by. Serve with them in the nursery, and you get to know them. I still serve. I serve all the time. I would never ask someone to do something that I would not do myself. I wouldn't ask someone to clean up throw up if I wasn't going to be willing to do it. Actually, I would rather do it. I know I can handle it. I want them to come back. So I would rather, honestly, if you can't do it. Do any of you know Mrs. Coates, Sharon Coates? She's a trip. She's had 5 children. And this is her in the nursery, changing a diaper. The whole time, and I'm like, and I know Brother Coates. He didn't change the diapers. So I don't know how she did it. And I just look at her and I go, "Just forget it, move. I'll do it." Now, I don't know if she's playing me. I have no idea. Is she just trying to get out of it? But to me, that is worse to watch her going the whole time than just change the diaper. I mean, come on. And she just, or you can be changing a diaper, and she's still over there doing it because she's like, she just can't handle it. Well, now she's getting grandbabies, so we'll see what happens. But get to know them. They will be your best friends, and they'll be your best allies. Because you can goad your friend into something you can't goad a stranger into. "Come on, work with me, please. You know I need your help, you know," or something. Your best friend is not the one that will turn away as you come walking towards her. She's pretty sure you might say hi at least first. Yeah, someone else will be like, "Oh, great, she's going to ask me to do nursery. I just don't act like I see her. She'll keep walking." So get to know them. It'll be your greatest joy. And C is do things special for them. Remember that it is hard. Like during the conference, it's hard. Everybody's children are wonderful, but when you put a baby in the nursery at 8 o'clock in the morning, you pick him up at 4, you bring him back at 7, and you don't pick him up till 10, I would be cranky if I didn't have any control of what I do and what I don't do. So you have to understand that the workers, you know, as we always go, you know, I always have workers that go, "Wow, I'm glad I'm working Monday night and not Wednesday," you know, because as the week gets longer, they've come from far away. They're trying to get their schedules acclimated. Mom's trying to figure out how to get it all done. And remember that it's a long time. It's not like, "Oh, well, just do your job and don't complain about it. It'll be over in 10 minutes. Treat them nicely. Like, we don't bring outside food into the nurseries. It's not allowed anymore with everybody's, I don't know if it's just the state of California. But I've never seen so many peanut allergies in my entire life, or childhood allergies anymore. So I buy the snacks. I make sure that they're the best that we can do. I can't, you know, soy, wheat, whey, all of that. Mom has to deal with that. But I can control peanuts, nuts, peanut butter, stuff like that. I can control that. I'm not going to look at a cracker package and go, "Does this have milk in it or not?" Because they call milk 15 different things. So, but peanuts and stuff. So those are the things, you know, we try to do. So I can't give them food anymore. You know, I used to make them little snack bags with something to try to get them by. But we always try to give them sodas. Like this week they get sodas. And we'll give them a snack bag as they walk out now because we can't give it to them while they're in there. But I don't know how you feel. My husband always gives me a hard time. He'll say, you know, if I've been at the store or something, he'll be, why do you have a Coke? Why? He just does not understand what a Coke can do. He just doesn't understand. I can't get him to understand it because he thinks, you know, you can buy the big bottle for $1, $1.05 or whatever, and I just paid $1.55 for the soda that's like this. And he's like, why couldn't you just wait till you come out? You just don't understand. Sometimes you just need a Coke. And it just helps, whether it's a Coke, a Sprite, a coffee drink, water, anything, sometimes just gets them through. And it lets them know that you did care. You didn't just put them in a room and say, okay, you're done. You know, when you're done, you can come back out and go home and don't have to worry about it anymore. It lets them know that you did think about them for 5 minutes. We have a nursery luncheon that we do once a year. And I always struggle with the fact of how I can be a blessing to my nursery workers. Because we're all moms. And, I love Ladies Night Out. But Ladies Night Out is sometimes hard. My kids are older now, so it's not a big deal now. But when they were little, even now that they're bigger because they're babies, they're wimps. You have to figure out how you're going to get them fed before you go. You know, and is everything taken care of? Did the homework get done? Did all this stuff get done? And now I can go to Ladies Night Out. So Ladies Night Out is great, but you have to get all these other things done. So when we first started doing it, we would have luncheons for the nursery workers, and we would invite the nursery worker. And then I started thinking, how am I being a blessing to her? She's got to find somebody to either watch her kids or her husband, which means she has to have all this stuff taken care of before she can walk out of the house so I can feed her dinner. So what we started doing about 3 years ago is we invite the whole family. We have a luncheon once a year, and we have it on Sunday mornings right after the last service, and we invite the whole family, mom, dad, and kids. So mom can go home and rest the rest of the afternoon, and she doesn't have to worry about anything. And we took instead of, okay, well, I'm going to stay for the luncheon. You guys got to figure out how you're going to eat. And that's all we do at the luncheon. There's no training. There's no, oh, by the way, remember this. But it's just being thankful for them. And I thought that would be much better than trying for them to figure out, how do I get out? Because when you start to get a little bit discouraged, you're like, forget it. Do any of you know the Whitmans? They have 5. And he was taking her somewhere for her birthday. So he was surprising her. So he was trying to get the kids taken care of. So he had 2 here and 2 here and 2 there. And so I see Alicia, and she has to pack 5 suitcases before she can even pack her own. And I'm sitting there going, I'd go, please don't take me. I don't want to go now. Forget it. I'm exhausted. How about we get rid of them and I just stay here, you know, in the peace and quiet. And that's more how I think about when I try to be thankful for something that they've done, you know, and I talk to them. I don't have any nursery workers that I haven't spoken to. I make sure I know about their lives as far as if their husband's been ill or the kids have been sick. I try to make it as personal as I can. It gets harder and harder. I do have 9 nurseries, and I have 9 nursery leaders, and then I'm over those 9 nursery leaders. So those ladies do help me with that. But for years, I made a Christmas gift for them every year. You know, a little something, you know, punching out something or making little cookies or something to let them know that I do really appreciate, I can't do this without them. I don't think that I could even hire a staff to do what they do. There's not enough money to do that. And one of the things that we've done, there's a lady that goes to our church who does stamping, and she's like beyond anything when it comes to stamping. So she'll make little gifts and stuff like that. But what we did last year was she made the cover of this book, and it said, thank you. And all it is that we had, we asked ladies who put their children in the nursery what it meant to them to have a nursery, you know, so that they could write a little note and say, you know, like one said, thank you so much for your labor of love. 2 of our children have gone through through your nurseries, and two more of our children are still in your nurseries. It is a blessing to see how much sacrifice and love that you pour out into your children. It didn't cost hardly anything. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. But if you just take the time to put it together, you know, just ask people, you know, can you write a thank you note? Can you write a thank you note? It's kind of like, I always feel bad, like, do I thank my husband every day when he comes home for going to work and making money? No. hopefully by the things that I do, tell him thank you, but I don't verbally remember to say thank you all the time. Or if I got a new dress or something, you know, thank you for going to work to make the money. You know, now, do they thank me for dinner every night? Pretty much, but the other stuff, you know, thank you for making sure the clothes are clean. I don't hear that very often. And so this is just a way sometimes to have them, to let them know that other people do appreciate what they do. I can say it 100 times. Oh, Pastor appreciates everything that you do. But it's still not the same as hearing it from one family. Have any of you ever gotten a thank you note from a mom or something? We had a little girl last week who, she was fine in her classroom, and then all of a sudden she just wasn't fine there anymore. She was scared to go into class. And her mom was trying to figure out why, and one of it was one of the teachers, and it wasn't that the teacher was, it was the teacher's physical appearance for some reason scared the little girl. I don't know why. And the mom was so embarrassed to come and talk to me about it, like, I feel really bad, you know, and I'm like, no, I don't want your daughter to come to church screaming because she doesn't want to go into a classroom. It's not the lady's fault that works in there. It just is. Kids are kids. They have weird things about them. And so we just graduated her to the next class early. Everybody's happy. She doesn't have to be traumatized. Mom doesn't have to feel guilty. And mom feels guilty both ways. I should be making her go in. Well, it's really hard when you have small children, you know, dragging them to see Mickey Mouse because they don't want to see Mickey Mouse. No, no, you know, and you see it all the time. Say hello, and they're like, no, you know, and moms are dragging them, and they're like, don't you get it? I don't want to see this stupid mouse. But those are the things, and those are just the little things that you can do to make things happy for everybody. And it just takes a little bit of time and a little bit of patience. But the most important thing is to think like the mom. Think like you just came onto your church campus for the first time. How would you feel if you walked in and the nursery workers were talking to everybody but you, and you stood there and you stood there? Or when you came to pick up your child and the nursery worker gave him to you and they were like, oh, he was awful. He kicked me. He pulled my hair. Now, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. You don't need to tell anybody. The only bad thing is when you lie like that and you say, oh, he was perfect, then that mom starts to work in the nursery and she realizes he wasn't perfect and it's like, you lied to me. But that's okay. It's okay to do that, to say, moms don't want to come back and hear, none of us, I don't care who we are, do not want to hear that our child was bad. Even when we say, oh, please tell me, I want to know if he was good or bad. We really don't want to know. Well, we do. We want to know he was good. I don't really want to hear that he was bad. That means I have to do something. I always tell a story about Christine Chapel. Well, now it's Christine Sisson, but Christine and Matt always had this. Matt's the youngest, and Matt always had this. They just always had this relationship that was kind of like, they loved each other, they hated each other. And when Christine got old enough to pick Matthew up from class, she would run down to the nursery, because this was the old thing. She'd run down, and the first thing she'd say was he bad? Was he bad? Because she just delighted in telling her mom how bad he was. And she was disappointed, and we said, oh, no, Chris, he was fine. Oh, okay. You know, then picking him up wasn't so much fun anymore because we were all saying, no, Matt was fine today or something, you know. So those are things parents don't want to hear that. They don't. None of us do. We want to hear that our children are those perfect little children that sat in their chair, obeyed everything. I thought when I had a little girl, I thought I could just sit her on the floor, you know, in her dress, and she'd just stay like that. Oh, no. She was dirtier than the boys ever were. You know, that's just, those are just the things that our mind does. So just remember those things. Remember that you're a mom, or were a mom, or a grandma, or how you would feel. Because 9 times out of 10, the nursery or childcare, I'll limit it to childcare, that's the first touch that they have from your church. Not from your pastor, usually. Not from a staff member. It's the nursery worker or the childcare person, because that's what they drop off first. And they're the first thing that, you are the first thing that they see when they come to your church. And the way people are today, they won't come back. they won't come back if they can't find a parking spot that's right in the right spot. So they're definitely not going to come back if the nursery worker was grouchy. Oh, give me your kid, you know, and take him in there and pop him down on the floor, you know, and go back to your business or whatever. So those are just the most important things that you need to remember. Does anybody have any questions? Yes, ma'am.
Do you schedule mothers in the same age group as they have their child?
You know what? That's up to the mom. Because I have the same nursery workers every Sunday morning, which they're moms, and sometimes, you know, they'll have babies and then they'll graduate into their class. That's up to the mom. Some moms can't deal with it. Their children can't deal with it. And so I don't have any problem moving them, but I leave that up to the mom. But with the exception that you're not in there to hold your baby the whole time either. Because you can go take him in the foyer and do that, and I can find another worker to sit in here. You know, especially because, you know, because some kids are fine. Some kids don't even know that their mom is in there. Other kids, they're like right there. They pick up someone else. They're crying. So I leave that up to the mom unless I see that it becomes a problem. And then I take care of it. And, you know, in a nice way if I can. How about if we move you over here? Or I think he needs to graduate or something to another nurse. Because it's the way ours go, yours are probably a little bit different. They don't stay in there very long. It's only a couple months till they get to be two. So it goes pretty quick. So that's why I'll leave it up to them usually. Some moms are like, don't put me with him. I don't want to be with him, you know. So I totally leave it up to them. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. That where I have the ability that some of you probably don't have is I do have those 9 nursery leaders. And that is that nursery leader's job. Her job is to remind her workers to be there, and her job is to open her nursery. And so she stays there till her workers show up.
Is that different from your check-in lady? Don't you have a check-in person?
We have check-in people, yeah, that's completely different.
Okay.
Yeah, the nursery leaders deal with exactly what happens at the nursery. And the check-in, they just do the check-in. Yes, ma'am. Cleaning? We go in, I'm constantly cleaning the toys. And then once a month we go in and just do everything. You know, I just go through all the nurseries. But we're constantly, in the smaller nurseries, every toy that they play with gets taken. My philosophy when it comes to something that goes in the nursery, if it can't be washed in the wash machine or dishwasher, we don't need it. That's my philosophy when it comes to a toy, except for big toys, you know, those, because those are easier to clean. But little things, we don't have stuffed animals, things that, you know, hold germs anyway. And so I have 2 separate ladies that take laundry home all the time after every service and wash it. That's what they do as their ministry. One lady used to work in the nursery for years, and she has cerebral palsy, and she just isn't steady enough to hold the babies anymore. So she takes the laundry home. And it's a huge blessing. It's huge. It makes a big difference. But that's how, did I answer? Is that, and we use, the Clorox, the cleanup wipes are, man, those are awesome. Because those you can do quick. And you can't hurt them, you know, so bigger toys we wipe down right before the service is, you know, over. And the high chairs, you know, if they sit in the high chair, the changing table, you know, we wipe it all the time. Yes, ma'am. Both. My biggest problem with accepting the donated toys, I don't know how it goes where you are, but where we are, I wouldn't give it to Goodwill. You know, or I have 9,000 McDonald's toys. So what first would start happening was people say, oh, I have some toys to bring in. I wasn't smart enough. So I would say, oh, yeah, just set them by the nursery, you know, put them in the nursery, you know. But now, if they want to donate toys, I have them give them to me, and then I go through them and I clean them to make sure, because everybody's idea of clean is a different thing too. These are really dusty. That's still dirt. Yes, ma'am. Now we have them because I have the nursery leaders. I try to be so careful with their time. My husband can go to 9,000 meetings and it doesn't mean anything. It means a lot when I go to the meetings because it messes everything. He's either got to get the kids and I try really hard to protect that. They've been at church all night to have a meeting right after church. I try really hard to do that, to think about them. So I try to handle things right at the nursery a lot of times. And then about twice a year, we have a bigger meeting. Like, we just had a huge meeting because we changed over our system and we were using Parent Pager now. And everybody had to be on board with that. So it had to be more of a big meeting. And still, sometimes you'll find in big meetings, especially when it comes to nursery, if you do them a lot, I don't know how, if you've noticed, they just don't come anymore. They think, I've heard that, oh, they're not telling me anything I don't know. Which you probably are telling them something that they need to know. They don't, you can't get them to understand it. You just can't get them to understand it. So that's why I try doing it a little bit smaller, like trying to get them, oh, you guys are in here right now, and then I keep track of who I've talked to and who I haven't. And by written, you know, like a policy change or something. Sort of a little bit more like a business, I guess, where you, yeah, right, something like that, right. And it helps with that. I now send my calendars out by email. Oh, that's the most wonderful thing ever created. I mean, it's just, it's no paper, I don't, you know, I get instant, I can call somebody at home 15 times. Email, for some reason, I get an answer back pretty quick. So those are the things, yeah, that's the only thing that I found. I mean, it may work better for you. We have two big ones a year, usually. We have a CE clinic, and then we'll have a nursery meeting. Yes, ma'am.
What, do you have a specific ratio that you try to keep your worker to
Well, we definitely don't go by what the law says, because we could never. I try to adjust it as we go. I try very hard. Of course, I have more workers in the baby nursery than what I would have in a two-year-old nursery. But like in the two-year-old nursery, I won't have, you know, I'll have at least three workers if there's 20 kids in there, 15 to 20 children. You know, and if there's some in there that are a little bit harder to handle, you know, I'll add another worker. Basically, what I do is I try to do the best that I can, but there's never less than two. I don't even care if there's one baby in there. There's never less than two workers, ever. That's just a flat rule. Yes, ma'am. Well, I will let a 10th grader work in the nursery with their mom. And then basically they have to be 18.
Okay, so is that for the infant nursery?
No, not infant nursery. Infant nursery, I don't, just not that, I mean, I have 10th graders that could probably raise more kids than I could. So it's not, I'm not saying it's anything against their ability or not their ability. It's just what it looks like when mom drops them off. So they don't work in the baby nursery. And unfortunately, that's where they want to work, but they can't, you know. I'll let them work in, like, the 5 to 8 month old nursery with their mom, with specific instructions. But, yeah, it just, I feel bad for the moms.
As far as your older children, not babies, do you have resources that they go through, like, just kind of in there to play, or do they?
You mean, like, curriculum? Mm-hmm. We do. We use RBP right now. We're in the process. We did. Striving Together did write curriculum. It's just not, I don't know how to put it, low enough, or it's not quite there to where we can do it in the nursery ages, but definitely for the three-year-olds and the four-year-olds and stuff like that, we can use that. So it just depends. You know, you can teach Noah every week for, you know, 6 months, you know, because there's a different animal and there's a different, you know, you can do a lot of things. Any other questions? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the ability to talk to these ladies and to meet these ladies, Lord. Help everyone to have a wonderful rest of the day and get us back to church tonight safely. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.